most people are familiar with Joshua 1, 8, and 9, where it talks about this law shall not depart from us, but meditate on it, and then we are prosperous and have good success. And so we begin the year by looking at this wonderful chapter. And as we do so, we're going to be looking at dangers to avoid in seeking success. And we'll see six of these dangers in this chapter tonight. And the first one that we see is in the first couple of verses, and that is the danger of looking back. We're in a new year. We don't look back. Let's pray, and then we'll look at these verses. Father, thank you for a new year, new opportunities that come with it. In a very real sense, every day is really new for us as believers, and we thank you for the gift of life, another day. And we read in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and we live day by day. And so, Father, we never know what a day holds, but we thank you for the promises of your word. Help us to glean from it tonight. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at the first two verses, it says, and after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And so Moses is dead. He has led them. God has called him and he has brought them out. Remember how he goes to Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and all of those things, and they get to the Red Sea and they think they're about to the end of their rope, and they look behind them and the Egyptians are coming, and God opens up the waters there. And Moses has led them, and now Moses is dead. So what are we going to do? But we learn several things from this chapter, and one is our future and our hope is not in any one individual. And aren't you glad it's not Moses, it's not Joshua, and it's certainly not your pastor. Our hope is in the Lord. And so there's danger in looking back. And it tells us in verse 1 that the Lord spake. None of God's servants are irreplaceable. If any of us ever get to the point of thinking that, you know, boy, what would this ministry, what would God do if something were to happen to me? That's some dangerous ground, isn't it? That is certainly a heart full of pride there. We sing a song sometimes. Doug Oldham used to sing this song. We've come this far by faith. And the next phrase says, leaning on the Lord. And they came as far as they did, not because of Moses, but they came as far as they did because the Lord had led them as well. You remember the story of Lot and his wife, and she looked back. And when she did, she never looked back again. And so here there's a danger of looking back because God has something new and fresh for us. And so we don't live in the past. Not only is there a living Lord, he's the one that spake. We can go into this future because God is the one that spake. God is the one who still speaks. His word is alive. It's relevant for us today in this new year. Well, then we see in verse 2, not only is there the living Lord, but there also is a promised people. And we're part of that people, not the nation of Israel, different dispensation, the church. But it says, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people there. And so God wants us to arise and go forward. He doesn't want us to look back, forgetting those things which are behind, we read in Philippians 3, 13. And whether it's for an individual or for a nation or for a church, you know, we forget those things which are behind, whether it's negative things or even blessings, you know, because, and it's not good to just always live in the past. Even the blessings, oh, we can remember them and thank God for them, but God has new blessings that he wants us to have. He doesn't want us to keep going back and just enjoying the old ones, but he has new things for his promised people there. And all of the sins that we have, they're in the past. God has forgiven us of our sins, and he has made our past sinfulness as though it didn't even exist. And so we certainly don't want to look back there. In John 6:66, that's an interesting reference, isn't it? John 6:66, it tells us that many of his disciples went back. And whenever a person looks back, it lures them into going back. And so like Lot's wife, she looked back. We don't want to look back. God has things ahead in store for us. The command in verse 2 is to arise and go over. And we can't do this if we're looking back. We can't do this if we have this what if mentality. Well, if I arise and go, what happens if this, you know? And that's where faith comes in, doesn't it, there. Remember Israel. As they were being led by Moses out of Egypt, they sometimes did look back, didn't they? And they started talking about, oh boy, when we lived in Egypt, we had all this, you know, the onions and the garlic and the leeks and those things. We had all these things, and they started looking back there. And so there's one danger, just living in the past and looking back. Moses is dead. Joshua is alive. God has a man. God always has a man. God always has a plan. And the things that happen on this earth, they don't rattle God at all. He's in total control. Well, in verse 3, God says to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast there. And so we come to verses 3 and 4, and we see the danger of standing still. And there he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon. You can't tread upon new ground while you're standing still. And so neither does God want us to look back and go back. Neither does God want us to stand still. God says that he has a plan for them. And he starts with verse 3 and he says, every place there. Here's Joshua. He's called Moses' minister here. And as Moses' minister, he was performing religious duties. And he was also military as well. And so he had the spiritual things he had to take care of, and he had the battles that he had to take care of. And in a very real sense, we do also, maybe not physical, literal battles like Joshua did, but we certainly will have battles to face as we enter 2019. And so there's the spiritual function we have as a believer, and there's that spiritual battle we have as well. And so God says to him, I want you to move forward. Our faith is what moves us forward. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. Notice the tenses of these verbs here. He says, every place that you shall tread. So that's future. As you move into the future, notice what he says, the next tense of the verb, I have given you. So he says, all the places that you're going to go in the future, they're already given to you. So it's not like I'm going to give them to you. I already have. They're yours. And God has promises for us that he wants us to claim. And if we're looking back and going back, we're going to miss out on them. If we're standing still, we're going to miss out on them. And so we have to move forward by faith to what God has for us in this new year, even though we certainly don't know what the new year holds for us. Well, not only do we see a faith that moves us forward, if we're going to go forward, we have to have vision. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we have a vision that we venture out. And whenever we have vision, it's going to make that venture possible. And in verse 3, he says, every place. And every place, God's plan is for you and for me to have victory in every step we take. Every step, the sole of your foot shall tread in every place. And every decision we make and every step we go, every task we do, God wants us to have success and He wants us to have growth in every place that we go. And that's what He tells Joshua here. And so our vision must be on the promises of God. If we allow our vision to be on the obstacles that are going to keep us from moving forward, we might trip and stumble, but we keep our vision on God's Word. I quoted a minute ago Proverbs 29:18, part of it, which says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." But the rest of that verse says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And so we have a vision for the Word of God, and whenever we obey God's Word, it says, happy is he. As every step we take, God has a promise for us. Jeremiah 23:16 says this, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord." And so we have to be careful, because there are prophets, there are people that will tell us things that are out of their own thoughts, out of their own opinions, and not out of the promises of God. Even at the time of Jeremiah, he said they speak a vision that's of their own heart. It's not from the Lord. And so whenever you're having times of where you feel like you're standing still, or even temptations to go back like the Israelites did, we need to say, that must not be from God. Because God has told us to arise and go forward. He wants us to be prosperous, not in the sense that a lot of TV evangelists preach this prosperity, but we'll see that in just a little bit. So there's two dangers: the danger of looking back, the danger of standing still, and then there's another danger as well. Verse 5, there's a danger of giving up. It says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And we never have failed at anything until we quit trying. And so aren't you glad for those who made these wonderful inventions of the light bulb and all the other wonderful inventions we have, that, you know, whenever the first and second and third thing they tried didn't work, they just didn't give up? And so God wants us to continue to move forward and not to give up. And God has given us power to do that. In verse 5, notice the word able. "There shall not any man be able." And that word has to do with the power. There's not a man alive that is powerful enough to stop God from doing what He wants to do in our lives when we move forward. And so we can stop if we start looking back, if we start standing still, if we give up, we might hinder what God wants to do there. But there's not anybody that is powerful enough who is able to stop God from doing what He wants to do in our lives. If we will do as God told Joshua and the people here, He says, move forward. It's time to go on there. Not only do we see that the power is promised, we also see a precedence is provided. God said to Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." You know, oftentimes in our court systems, whenever they are trying a case and they're looking to see what judgment they're going to have on this, they often will look to see what precedents they have, what other decisions similar to this have been made, and what sets the precedent for it. So God says to them, I've given you a precedent here. He says, "I was with Moses. You saw what I did with Moses. You saw how I was with him. You saw how I proved myself to him, how I did what I said I was going to do with Moses. And you have this living example that you watched there. And so he says, don't stand still. We don't look back. We don't stand still. And we don't quit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and following through 14, he talks about standing. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Then verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness there. And so there's a time to stand for the faith and stand for the word of God, because God has given us a promise. He says, move forward. Don't look back and don't just stand still. Stand for truth and stand for the word of God and move forward and don't quit. You might fail a time or two. The Bible, doesn't it say something about whenever a person falls, how wonderful it is to have a friend who will pick him up and help him along, to be an Aquila and a Priscilla like we saw this morning there. Well, we come to the fourth danger in verse 6. He says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God says, I'm going to divide the inheritance, and there's a danger of falling short. And so to keep from falling short of what God has for us, he says in verse 6, be courageous, be of good courage, be strong and good courage. Don't fall short. God has things that he wants to measure out to us. And if we fall short of it, we're not going to fall short of heaven. We understand it's not talking about that. God has an inheritance for us. God has promises to us. And if we stand still, or if we look back, or if we quit, we're going to miss out on some of the blessings and promises that God has for us. It says in the verse 6, unto this people there, to God's people. And so Joshua is given this command by God. And how he responds and obeys is going to affect other people as well. Unto this people, they're going to either reap or not reap some benefits based on what Joshua does. And so as we make this decision not to go back and not to stand still and not to quit, we have other people that are going to be affected by the decisions, choices that we make here. And so he says, you're not going to fall short of it if you obey me. Now we know that they're entering into the promised land eventually there. And I'll say it again, and I'm sure you're aware that the promised land is not a picture of heaven. We don't fall short of that. We know from the teachings of Scripture that Moses is in heaven. We also know from the Scripture that Moses didn't enter the promised land. And so, therefore, it can't be heaven, because the Bible's not going to contradict itself. And God has for us a Canaan land, a promised land, a life of victory and prosperity, spiritually speaking, there. And we can fall short of all the wonderful blessings God has for us, but he doesn't want us to. He has so much in store for us that we can't even begin to see. But oftentimes we miss it because we look back. Oftentimes we miss it because we stand still. Oftentimes we miss it because we quit there and we fall short of what God has for us. And so our choice is either to be courageous or to be a castaway. And we read that from 1 Corinthians 9:27. He says, but I keep under my body, this is Paul, of course, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I should fall short of dividing the prosperity that God has for us. And if we quit, then we will lose some rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about losing rewards in verses 13 through 15 of 1 Corinthians 3. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If any man, his work shall be burned, he will fall short of receiving some of the rewards that God has for us. And so some of those rewards are here while we're on earth. Some of those rewards we gain in heaven, but we can fall short of some of those rewards if we look back, or if we stand still, or if we quit and not do all that God has for us. There's a fifth danger, and that's in verse 7. It was a danger for Joshua. It's a danger for us. He says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." And the fifth danger is the danger of taking over. And so Joshua is here as the leader to replace Moses. He is not here as the leader to replace God. And so if we ever get into the point in our lives where we decide we're going to take over, sometimes churches, whenever they are having a change of pastor, or even sometimes schools when they're having a change of administration, sometimes there's a little bit of skepticism and fear, because the new person coming in who is, quote, taking over, what kind of changes are going to be? What's going to happen when this new man comes in there and takes control over it? And that's what God is addressing here, this issue of control. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, commanded you." And God is in control. Hold your place there and go to chapter 5. And we're going to look at a couple of verses in chapter 5 and go back to them in just a minute. The last three verses of chapter 5, I'll read and then put something on the screen in a minute concerning these three verses. It says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. He said to him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so." And just as Moses was the servant of the Lord, and Joshua was the minister of Moses and also the servant of the Lord, we have to realize that we are all servants under the command of God. And so it is in our own lives, not just with Joshua and the people. Joshua wasn't going to take control of them. He was still going to be under the leadership of God. And if we ever get to a point in our own lives where I've got to take control, I've got to be in control of my own life, you know, and you will hear that terminology sometimes from the world. But the Bible says that we need to yield control to the Lord. He needs to be in control. And if we ever think that we can control our own lives and our own destiny and we can get a grip on it, we're deceiving ourselves. And so the control must be from the Lord. Our job is not to have control, but our job is to have compliance. He says in this verse, observe to do. Our job is to obey, to do and to go, verse 7, regardless of our feelings, regardless of the obstacles, regardless of who else may or may not go with us, our job is to go and do. He says that thou mayest prosper in verse 7. We also see that in verse 8, that thou shalt make thy way prosperous there. Our prospering is dependent upon verse 7, that we go and we do. Notice what he says in verse 7, whenever we go. He says, don't go to the right hand or to the left. So if you're not going to the right and you're not going to the left, where are you going? You're going straight, you know, and that's what the Bible tells us, to walk the straight path there, the straight and narrow. And as we don't look back and we don't stand still and we don't quit, we move forward in a straight path. Lord, lead me in a plain path. And God's paths are always straight there. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." And so God is the head. He is in control. We're not going to be in control of the situation. We're going to yield control to the Lord there. Look again to Joshua chapter 5, and we'll see three actions that Joshua had here, and we'll develop this a little bit more whenever we get to the end of chapter 5 as we go through this book. But our acceptance to the position God has for us. For Joshua, it was a position of leadership. He was going to take over for Moses. If they were to ask, who wants this job? Probably they wouldn't have had anybody volunteering for that job, especially the way the people, dealt with Moses and treated him. But God said, Joshua, I have this job for you. And God has a position and a ministry for each one of us. And our response to whatever that position and ministry is should be demonstrated in three actions we see from Joshua here. In verse 14, the first one, we see that his position, his attitude is revealed through his humility. In verse 14, it says he fell on his face. And the reason he was humble, because he realized that he didn't have the strength. He didn't have the ability. He didn't have the knowledge. He didn't have the power to do what God had called him to do. And if we ever get to the place in our lives where we think, I've got it, I can do it, that's not humility. We must constantly be reminded that there's no way possible. Lord, unless you do the work, it's not going to be done. And Joshua, he fell on his face. And the next thing he did, it says he did worship. He was thanking God. And all of our thanksgiving is worship. Humility is not saying, I can't do that, God. We can do it. Humility is realizing that the gifts I have, the abilities I have, the position I have, I can do those things. But not because it's me. Because God has given those to me. And our humility is realizing that, God, anything that I ever am able to accomplish for the kingdom and glory of God is because you've given them to me. And I thank you, God, for giving me those gifts. I thank you for giving me the abilities you give me. And he's given to each one of you different gifts and abilities. And so don't say, I can't do that, I can't, in a false humility, but realize that we do have some abilities. We do have gifts. And Joshua was going to be the leader. And he did so in humility. And he thanked God for enabling him and going with him. But the third thing we see at the end of 15, it says, the captain, this is Jesus incarnate. This is God in the person of Christ, Christophany, as we call it. In verse 15, Christ said, the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. That's a simple command, isn't it? Take off your shoes. Well, one we kind of like, don't we? We get home and knock off the shoes. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And the last four words of chapter 5 says, and Joshua did so. Simple obedience. He did what God told him to do. And whether or not we are accepting the position and task that God has for us is going to be revealed in our humility or lack thereof, and how thankful we are to God for what he's given to us and using it for his glory by obeying what he's told us to do. Well, we come to the sixth and final danger, and that's the danger of laying aside God's word. Verses 8 and 9. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And so we don't want to lay it aside. We want to meditate day and night. God's word is the key to success. If we're going to make our way prosperous, and we see that word in verse 7 and verse 8, if we're going to be prosperous, then we've got to be in God's word. We've got to obey God's word. Well, not only meditating on God's Word, thinking of it and memorizing it and reading it and studying it and digging into it as nuggets of gold. There also has to be a little maintenance in our lives from God's Word. Notice it says, and observe to do according to all that's written therein. He says, meditate therein, meditate on all the counsel of God, but also observe to do all of it. If you own a house, you know that concept of maintenance, don't you? A house always needs maintenance. I remember when we bought our first house, actually it was a mobile home in college. I lived in one when we first got married. My dad bought, and then we needed a bigger one when the kids came along, and so we bought another one, and someone said to us, well, did you buy a hardware store to go with it? You know, and I understood shortly after that what he meant by that, because the maintenance just always, and the house needs painting, the house needs repair, there's just always something. But if we put it off and put it off, it doesn't fix itself, does it? It gets worse and worse, and it gets more costly, and so it is in our spiritual lives. There has to be that maintaining of our walk with God so that we're not looking back and we're not standing still and we're not quitting, that we're, shutter by shutter, doing a little painting here, tightening up the screws in the screen door, or whatever it is. We're just constantly maintaining our walk with the Lord. And that comes by meditating in God's Word and then rise and going forward, like he said to Joshua here. And so we look at the conclusion, that thou mayest prosper. Let me share four things with you from the end of the chapter, and I may pick up on some of these things as we get into next week. But four things that happen that cause our prospering with the Lord. There's the admonishment of God's servants. In verses 10 and 11, he said, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Whenever God works in and through us to use the gifts and abilities he's given to us, and we minister to others, like we saw this morning with Aquila and Priscilla, we become able to admonish other people in the Lord as they're moving forward in their walk with the Lord as well. And we see part of our prospering is also adhering to God's Word. Verse 12, and the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spake, saying, verse 13, remember the Word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. And so it was the Word from Moses, but it wasn't just from Moses. It was through Moses. It was from God. He says, remember the Word. And so as we go into the new year, we want to be prosperous. We want to admonish one another. We certainly want to adhere to the Word of God. Remember the Word of God. We have a new year. The year has changed. The page has turned from 2018 to 2019. But the pages of the Word of God haven't changed, have they? The Word of God never changes, and we can adhere to it. Verse 15, we also want to acquire God's rest. God has a wonderful rest for us. It says, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord God had given them, ye shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan. On this side of Jordan, God had given you something. Now you're going to the other side, and God wants you to enjoy that. Every place, we saw in verse 3, where your footstep, God wants you to enjoy. There doesn't mean that there aren't going to be battles. Joshua had many. But as we have those battles, we don't look back. We don't stand still. We don't quit. We don't look at the obstacles. We keep our eyes on the Lord, trusting in Him. And the last thing we see that we do together in verses 16 through 18. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. That's a wonderful testimony. According as we hearken to Moses in all things. That might have been a little exaggeration from the people. I don't think they hearkened to him in all things. There that could have discouraged Joshua some. He says, so will we hearken to thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And he was. God had promised that early in the chapter. Now verse 18. They said, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken to the words, all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Well, we're not going to go around in 2019 putting our brethren to death, but there is a principle here, and that is an accountability to God's people. And so they were saying, God and Joshua, if they don't do, we're going to support you in this thing, and we're going to hold them accountable to do the Word of God. And that's what we can do. As iron sharpens iron, as we go into the new year and we all desire to move forward for the Lord and be prosperous for His glory, we can help each other be accountable to the Word of God and encourage one another to move forward in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the promise that you gave to Moses, the promise that you gave to Joshua, the promises that you've given to us. Your word never changes. And as you were with Moses, you were with Joshua. We have a precedence provided for us. And you've told us that you will not leave us nor forsake us. So for whatever we see come our way in this new year, we need not fear, for you're with us and you will guide us and strengthen us and prosper us according as we meditate in your word and maintain our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.